So don't you love it when the lectionary readings begin with something like, now about 8 days after these sayings, isn't your first question, what sayings? So I'm going to give us some backstory. So what has been happening in chapter 9 is he has given the mission to the 12, and he has fed the 5,000. Peter has now declared Jesus as the Messiah. Jesus has foretold all of them of his life, death, and resurrection, and that if you are going to be a follower, you must take up your cross and follow me. So it's after those things have happened that he takes Peter, James, and John up on the mountain. Now, Luke tells this story a little bit differently than we might remember it, because what we have up here is they climb up this mountain, and Luke lets us know that the disciples are a little sleepy. So have you ever been in that twilight sleep? Have you ever been sitting in your chair watching TV and you just sort of hear what's going on because you're almost asleep? Well, you can imagine that is the state right now of Peter, James, and John. And there up on the mountain, Jesus is transfigured. His face glows, his clothes get beautifully white, and beside him are Moses and Elijah also beautifully showing God's glory. So I imagine they're kind of going in that fuzzy, you can't really see because when you sort of open your eyes in that sleepy state, everything's a little blurry. So things are a little blurry. But Luke tells us what is being spoken of between Moses, Jesus, and Elijah. He says they're talking about Jesus's departure, which he's about to accomplish in Jerusalem. So we don't know if they really hear what's being spoken, but they can see who the characters are. But before we go back to Peter, James, and John, I want to spend a little bit of time with the word departure. Because in this translation, the New Revised Standard Translation, it says departure. I don't know what it says in the King James. I had looked at it, and my memory on a Sunday morning isn't always the best. But one of the Greek possibilities of that Greek word that's there is exodus. They were speaking of Jesus's exodus that will begin in Jerusalem. So I want us just to think about this, that when Moses, who we heard also had the glow of God, when Moses took the people through the river, the Red Sea, into the wilderness, and then eventually the promised land, that was an exodus. That was a movement towards their freedom. This particular transfiguration moment is just before Jesus goes to the cross and dies so that we might have life and have it abundantly. Our exodus of freedom from the trappings of sin, for the realities of this world, are accomplished through that cross. And Jesus is the leader that we follow through the cross and beyond into resurrection. This, they were speaking of his exodus, of our exodus. I had never really thought about that transition as an exodus moment for us, as we leave the world behind and enter a new life, a new birth with Christ for the transformation of the world and the coming of God's kingdom. But Peter, James, and John might not have been thinking about that either, as they were slowly waking up. And maybe Peter goes, oh my goodness, look who's here. Peter sees Moses, Elijah, and Jesus and thinks, oh, we need to celebrate this. We need to build tents. We need to have a great time. That's the only human voice we hear, really hear, up on the mountain. And before we go to the next moment, stop and think about this. Jesus talked about the greatest commandment. And if you've been reading the Bible in this Bible year journey, we've been talking about the Shema. Hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God with all your might, with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your spirit. And And Jesus once says, that's the first commandment, and the second is greater, is just as great, love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two hang the law and the prophets. So Peter, James, and John are seeing Jesus in the middle of Moses, the law, Elijah, the prophets, the fulfillment of God's promise. Another reason why this is an Exodus moment, the fulfillment of God's promise is there in front of them. And Peter is so excited, he wants to stay. But then the cloud envelops them all. And at this point, they all wake up. You know, that moment when you go, because something has happened, or you just moved wrong in your recliner when you were falling asleep. But they all wake up, and the cloud envelops them, and they hear God's voice. This is my son, the chosen, with whom I am well pleased. And then those key words, listen to him. Listen to him. But Jesus never says anything in Luke's passage. In fact, this is the place that's kind of caught me off guard. Luke tells us, and they kept silence. They made the choice not to speak. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. And you have to wonder, didn't they want to go tell everybody what they had seen? And at 8:30 this morning, someone was saying, yeah, but they'll all think they were crazy. So they didn't tell until after his death and resurrection. And then the story gets told. But think about that. They hear God's voice. This is my son, my chosen. Some translations say my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen, New Revised doesn't say with whom I am well pleased. See how much we remember other translations or other chapters? This is my son, the chosen. Listen to him. Remember what happened before? All those verses that we didn't get to study this morning, that Jesus had taught them about his life, death, and resurrection, and that if they were going to be his disciples, they had to take up the cross and follow him. Those were things they had to listen to him about, that maybe the Messiah wasn't quite what they thought it would be. And then the scripture goes on to talk about the next day. Have you ever had those mountaintop experiences with God? Have you had one of those? Have you been on a retreat? Have you been in worship? Have you been in a choir singing a song? Have you been in prayer? Have you been at a birthing moment? Or even at a dying moment when it just seemed like God was so real and you didn't want to leave that moment? Have you had one of those? Well, at some point we have to. At some point we have to leave that beautiful moment in the cloud with God and enter into the world and do the work that God calls us to do. So they go down out of the mountain, and there they find a man who has a child with a demon that the disciples are not able to cast out. And Jesus gets a little bit frustrated. I can imagine he got very frustrated. It's like, wait a minute, what did you just see? You know, who am I to you that you could not do what I called you to do? And he cast the demon out. And all were astonished at the greatness of God. Transfiguration Sunday is about being astonished at the greatness and glory of God in our midst, even today. And I keep thinking about the glowing faces that were part of almost all the scriptures, that Moses' face glowed, Jesus glowed. And I wondered, did Peter, James, and John's face glow? They had been in the presence of glory revealed. Were they that reflected glory back to God? The world needs some glowing faces. We need to have a faith that cannot keep silent in the face of the growing fear, anger, and frustration in the world. We need to tell the story of a God who keeps his promises, that we need to build our own monument of 12 stones that says, God is faithful. Even the Job passage in Sunday school was about God is faithful and gives blessings to those who are faithful to God. The world needs to know of a God who can move mountains, a God who can part seas, but also a God who can change the heart of a sinner just like me, just like you. We cannot keep silent. If we believe that the God in Christ who was transfigured on that mountain is the one who died on the cross from us and rose and gave us life and gave it abundantly to us. If we can't believe that in this world and we can't share that with the world will be lost because we are the voices. We are the ones who cannot keep silent. We cannot have a mountaintop experience and not tell anybody because we're afraid that people won't believe the things that we have experienced. The Ukraine is in some dire straits, but that is probably just one that is hitting the news now. People are dying for multiple reasons in the world. People are lost and forsaken, even in our community here. We cannot keep silent about a God who brings healing, wholeness, and love and peace. It's Transfiguration Sunday. Do we believe enough that what Peter, James, and John saw on that mountain, that culmination of God's love in one man, Jesus Christ, is the one who will transform the world? Did that one man transform our lives? How many lives do we need to share the story with? Let us not keep silent. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.